I'm Judy Swallow in for Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. Take one Hollywood star, a porn tycoon, a billboard queen, a sumo wrestler, and a guy called Grey, too, in fact. And that's just a few of the army of candidates vying to rule the crazy fiefdom they call California.
There's no question that there's a lot of frustration and disappointment out here. I get it.
They can all go screw themselves. I would be Gray Davis' worst nightmare come true if I got elected.
There's going to be a lot of blows thrown. And I think as a sumo wrestler, I have been ideally prepared for this challenge.
Actually, I should be a representative of the people, an ambassador to the people of California, not a governor. That's like an old term. It's old-fashioned.
Intelligence, physical power, and mental power is the answer to everything.
Only in California. At least that's the way the other 49 dismissed the antics of the Golden State. It's always done things differently. The ultimate destination of the early pioneers has pioneered the nation in movies and dot-coms, diets and dining, image and integration, and democracy. It may be weird, but it's direct. Recall and referendum. In California, if you don't like the way things are, you pick up your clipboard and you change them. That California is different is a given, but it's the epitome of extremes. The pristine palaces of the stars nestle next to Skid Row. Hollywood's dreams are created in the barricaded studio lots while gangs wage war on the streets outside. It's the state of the biggest booms and the biggest busts. To some, it's still the American dream. To others, another country, the face of America, gone nuts. Connection listeners, is California crazy? Or does it just know something the rest of America doesn't? And when it comes to politics, is California a trendsetter or just a sideshow? And is California the face of America's future or a totally different country? 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. Here to talk to us today, historian James Rawls, author of the book California, an Interpretive History, and Harry Shearer. You know his voice by his multi-characters in The Simpsons. He's also an author, a satirist, and host of Le Show in NPR, and a Los Angeles native. Harry Shearer, first of all, what's going on now? Feast for the satirist, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But it's also a wake-up call to the long, somnolent California media. Judy, what you have to understand is that the number, the amount of attention focused on California state government in the last 2 weeks far exceeds the amount of media attention focused on California state government in the last 20 years. The roll call of newspapers and television stations that closed their Sacramento bureaus over the last 10 years is roughly equivalent to the number of newspapers and television stations in California. The state government had been operating in a vacuum all this time, and then all of a sudden people wake up to discover $38 billion budget deficit, and they decide, oh, we got to pay attention to this, and this is the result.
I was wondering, Harry, if what you're saying there is that, you know, California is really good at putting on a show and not so good at mundane business as usual.
Well, you know, I tend to resist most of the East Coast-based generalizations about California because I experienced them at first hand when I used to work for Newsweek. But I think one of the things that's true about this state is that as a magnet for immigrants, both from other countries and from other states, this state is sort of a sitting duck. And a lot of the immigrants from abroad, of course, set down roots immediately. But a lot of the immigrants from other states, attention New York, come out here and sort of put a sign on their apartment, you know, only passing through for the money, and make a grandiose show of not setting down roots, and then write back to all their friends denouncing the lack of community here. And one of the signs of that is the insanely or incredibly or marvelously low voting turnout.
Let's bring in historian James Rawls. James, Harry brought up a lot of issues there. One, making it sound as if the thing that makes California different is that everyone goes there for the money. No one puts down roots. You have a transient society, grab it and run. Take us back a little bit. Is that your image of California?
Well, I think one thing that Harry said is very true, that people have come to California with exceedingly high expectations, and sometimes those have been unrealistically high. Throughout our history, California has enjoyed generally but not always, but generally a very positive, attractive image, including our opportunity, yes, to make money, but it's not just that. It's also the climate. It's sunny California. It's the health image that's now maybe recognized as California cuisine and tofu and so on. The romance of Hollywood has been a tremendous allure. There was an article in the LA Times recently called Sex and California. The two somehow seem to go together, and that's been a long-standing story. And you mentioned in your intro about the cutting-edge quality of California being the innovative state and a sense of freedom in California to come here and to do your own thing. And those qualities have been embedded in the world's consciousness of California for at least 150 years, going back to the gold rush. And because those qualities have been universally attractive, we have experienced a continual boom in the population. There's been a growth. Obviously, now we're the most populous state. We've been that way for 30 plus years, 34 million Californians today. That's a natural consequence of those positive images of California. And the other natural consequence is the diversity of all of those New Yorkers and Mississippians and people from Mexico and from Korea who have come here. And so today, California is not only by far the nation's most populous state, it is also by far the nation's most ethnically diverse state.
And the most interesting state politically at the moment. Let me bring in Willie Brown, mayor of San Francisco, who was for 15 years leader of the California Assembly. Willie Brown, California does seem to do its politics differently. Do you regard what's going on there now as a positive thing or a negative thing?
It is not positive at all. In 1911, when they first made the recall available, they envisioned that it would be the people's way of being able to impeach an elected official. If that elected official, in the term to which he had been elected, had not done his job or had engaged in some conduct inconsistent with good judgment or high crimes and misdemeanors or great misdeeds, no one ever envisioned that it would be used as a political ploy by rich guys like Issa for the express purpose of trying to twist the system into being responsive, even in this diverse state, to his or her needs. And that's what this is, and that's all it's about.
But isn't this really direct democracy at its best? And the epitome of the American dream, that anybody has a chance to go for governor. You don't have to be a multi-billionaire to do it.
Well, if in fact you had to get a majority of the vote, that would be one thing. And yes, that would be direct democracy. But democracy depends upon a majority ruling, not a distinct minority. And this is one of those rare, unusual cases in which the people who vote no, or theoretically would be voting for Gray Davis, could be at 49%. And the people who would vote for Cruz Bustamante or Arianna Huffington or Mr. Arnold Schwarzenegger would only vote 22% for that individual.
Well,
that individual would be elected governor. That's crazy.
You're not happy about this thing. Let's put this aside, though, for the moment, the governor's race, and look at the political culture as a whole. Probably a lot of people don't know that you originally parachuted in from Texas. I mean, is California unique?
No, California isn't unique. You can run for public office by qualifying and at any regular election, and the elections are usually held in the spring and in the fall, and they are traditional. The vote in place and the location is the same. Seldom, if ever, is there a consolidation of precincts and a reduction of voting opportunities. As a matter of fact, California is moving towards when we will do same-day registration so that you will be able to vote on the day in which the election is held. We now require you to be here only 15 days, to be registered only 15 days before you vote, all with the emphasis, and we do vote by mail. So we're trying to increase the amount of participation, not constrict it, and this recall is designed in such a way that fewer than a half of the voters, maybe even less than 40% of the voters, will show up to participate, and that's not direct democracy.
Well, what I was talking about is that the way California looks from the outside, certainly, is this is just such a politically motivated state. You have initiatives, people are involved in every issue, people are involved in candidates, people are getting excited about their governorship, that this is a really politically astute state, a politically alert state in a country which is fairly apathetic.
I disagree with you. I don't think it's politically astute at all when you think in terms of the kind of people that can get elected in the absence of what appears to be really quality and the lack of participation by the voting constituency in my own city, which may very well be the most political city in all of the state of California outside of Berkeley. We had an election for a city attorney, the second most important job in this city, and fewer than 30% of the voters showed up to cast a vote. In the race for mayor of San Francisco, those who wanted to twist the system to their advantage moved the runoff for the mayor to about 2 weeks before Christmas. People don't participate in elections during the Christmas holidays. So those of us in the world of politics in California have been consistently twisting the system and rewriting the rules to gain an advantage to keep us in the majority, even though we are not truly the majority. And that's not good for this democracy.
Mayor Willie Brown, thanks very much for joining us. Let's bring Harry Shearer back in. Harry, big dose of cynicism there.
I don't think it's cynicism. I think it's a fairly reputable member of the political establishment, and I will agree with him on one thing. This is not a politically astute state, or if it is, the people who advise the California media keep telling them that we don't care about politics. I made reference before to the closing of the Sacramento bureaus of virtually every TV station and newspaper in California. And you will in vain look on the local evening news broadcasts in Los Angeles, I know the city I know best, to see any political news here. The standard and conventional wisdom is Californians don't care about politics. So you get freeway, high speed or slow speed, whatever speed you like, freeway car chase journalism instead. And I think one of the effects of the progressive reforms that we heard about at the beginning of the broadcast has ironically been to exclude people from the political process. In local government, not state government, there was a very concerted effort, certainly effective in Los Angeles, to disconnect political parties from city government. So instead of having two relatively defined choices, I know what a Republican is, I know what a Democrat is, you now have to learn for the 15 city council seats of Los Angeles, for example, the positions, the relative merits, the issues of 3, 4, 5, 6 candidates for each of 15 offices. That's a little daunting for most people, and the result is it's turned into a total insider's game.
In a couple of seconds, James Rawls, tell me, does California lead the country or is it a different country?
I think California has been a trendsetter and does set the styles for the nation in many ways, particularly out of Los Angeles and Southern California. It is a trendsetter in education in many ways. This is where the community college movement began, for example. Certainly in high technology, this is the birthplace of the Internet revolution. And so America can look to California, for better or for worse, I think, for a window to the future.
Connection listeners, what do you think? Is it leading the country, or is California a separate country? Maybe one you'd like to move to. 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. I'm Judy Swallow. You're listening to The Connection from NPR. I'm Judy Swallow in for Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. Joining our conversation about California is Charlie LaDuff, LA-based reporter for The New York Times. He's been out in Los Angeles for a couple of months writing about the state. Also still with us, Harry Shearer, LA-based writer and actor, and James Rawls, a Californian historian. You can join us. Our number is 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Charlie, you arrived in California this summer, fresh eyes from Iraq. While you were in Iraq, a truly California story was turning around in your head, as I understand it. Rodney King beating in Los Angeles. Why think about Rodney King when you were in Iraq?
It wasn't so much just the beating. It was Rodney King as the person. Because to me, encapsulates what America is. You know, what's good? We're over there exporting our values. And you're looking at the only racial thing that works in this country, which is the military. And I'm thinking back home about the police, race problems, opportunity, hoping to get lucky, catch a lawsuit, move to the suburbs, stuff like that, drug use, divorce. And so I kept thinking about him, and I showed up on his porch, and he wouldn't interview. He wouldn't give me. He wouldn't talk to me. Just like Arnold.
The thing is, Charlie, you're there in Iraq, which is a rough place, and you're thinking about all these sort of unpleasant face of America, and you end up in California, and you start writing on it. I mean, is this sort of a conflict, the ugly face of America and beautiful California, or did you go to California looking for the sort of seedy side of America?
No, well, I'm just thinking of home. And, you know, home means a lot of things. So I don't write about movie stars. I just write about regular people. And, you know, you can take it for what it is. But I love Rodney King. He's my American brother, you know what I mean? There's 8 million, 10 million people in the county. And I'm going to try to document as many of them as I can. I mean, America is seedy. America's beautiful for it. That's what I think.
You have got fresh eyes, I said, coming into California. Do you think it's different?
I used to live in Oakland, I got to tell you, when I went to grad school for about 3 years. But it's different to a point, but it's America.
Well, I've been reading some of your stuff. It's gangs. It's Skid Row. It's a certain America, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a trip. I mean, that's part of L.A., but it's also, you know, it's high tech. It's science. It's agriculture, it's Latin, it's Asian, it's European, it's mythology. You know, you're at the end of the West in L.A., but Reno's farther west than L.A. is, isn't it?
You got a lot of flack from your stuff, haven't you?
I got a little bit.
A little bit. You want to tell me about it?
No, I'm not. You know, a couple of newspapers called me an East Coast snot, but for the record, I'm from the Midwest, so I'm just calling them as I say them. I love a big town, a world-class town like L.A. has personality, and the rap on it around the world, not just in New York, is it doesn't, and it's not true, and my job is to find it. So if you want to hate me, go ahead.
Oh, I don't want to hate it at all. Let's bring in Harry Shearer. Harry, is this a California you recognize?
It's certainly part of the California I recognize. I mean, I grew up in an integrated part of Los Angeles. I taught school in Compton. I've been to the less glamorous parts of L.A. that Charlie writes about. I think it's refreshing to see that there's a media person out here who doesn't restrict himself to the area west of La Brea and north of Olympic, which are the precincts that most of the elite regard as the only safe parts of L.A. to inhabit. It's much bigger than the area that normally exists in the brains of people that you hear about or read in the national media. There are whole parts of LA LA County certainly that exist way off the radar that's normally observed. You know, this was the place where we had a little white bread suburb called Monterey Park, and suddenly one of the city councilmen drove around his neighborhood and got upset because he couldn't read any of the signs on the stores because all the Chinese people had moved in and the signs were in Chinese, and he started a movement to make English the official language of California. That's part of L.A. too.
Charlie, can I ask you just briefly how you're going to cover this this governor's race?
Hey, Harry, thanks for that. I appreciate it, man.
My pleasure.
This job's hard sometimes.
I know it.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. You know, like the Great Migration North by black Americans? It's when I wrote a story in the South about work and Mexicans coming now specifically. There's no real stuff written by reporters, and I prefer reporters to journalists. There's nothing written. So my point is to document all of L.A. because all our grandchildren are going to live together, and they should know how it came to be. I forgot the question you were asking.
Yeah, I was just asking you, Charlie, how are you going to cover the recall?
I don't know. I don't know. You know, it's a circus, of course. I'd love to, you know, profile Gary Coleman, but I don't think it's going to serve our readers. Right now, I'm just trying to understand each of the candidates, their motivations, their hungers, their past, and just try to get close to them, hang out, watch it happen, and that's how I'd like to do it.
Charlie, good luck. Charlie LaDuff, LA-based reporter for the New York Times, joining us from LA. James Rawls, I'd like to bring you back in here. A couple of themes are coming out there, you know, the sort of seedy side of California. Is that a very big part of it? It's the ultimate American dream, and then the American dream turns sour. Is that a real California theme?
Well, I think there's no question that running through California history has been, as I mentioned earlier, that very high expectation for the good life in California, however you define it. But also running through all of California history has been the denial of that dream. The diversity of California has produced a backlash. There's been strong xenophobia against not just the Mexican immigrants of recent years, but, you know, we were the center of the nation's anti-Chinese movement and the anti-Japanese movement, and the dark and bloody ground of California's relations with the Indian population, with the Native American population. So there's no question that right beside the dream has been that nightmare, the dream denied, and there have been victims of the dream throughout our history, as well as those who have realize their dreams here in a positive way.
Let's talk to connection listeners for California Dreamers. 1-800-423-8255. Jay joins us from Brookline, Mass. Jay, you a fan of California?
Hi, Judy. How are you doing?
Hi, Jay.
I am originally from Texas, so I think congenitally I should be a arch enemy of California. But I did go to college in California, spent 4 years there, and I would say that I noticed something very important. I think that in the U.S. in general, each state is in many ways a experiment for debates, policies, innovations, and so forth, which are adopted by other states or by the federal government. And in many ways, at least when I was in California, and I think since then, California was an innovator, not necessarily positively or negatively, but just in having the argument or having the debate loudly in a way that happened there first. Things like affirmative action with the Proposition 209, immigration, which was kind of the Prop 187, the death knell of the Republican Party in California, a bilingual education. All of these debates really happen, I would say, most vociferously in California before they spread to states which, for instance, like Texas, are demographically somewhat similar to California or size-wise. And I think that that is really, in many ways, the biggest contribution. Now, I don't live in California anymore, and I don't plan to ever go back, but I can certainly see that as a very positive contribution to the national debate.
Do you think that, Harry? I mean, the thing that really singles out California is they shout loudest. I would have thought New Yorkers shouted loudest, actually.
New Yorkers shout loudest, but I do think that a lot of the debates do start in California. Certainly in the 70s, the so-called property tax revolt started here. One can debate why it started here. I was around the state legislature at the time when it was happening, and I think it was one of the earliest expressions of the rise of senior citizens, to use the proper euphemism, as one of the untouchable aspects of the American electorate. And when people found their older people who had no income stream, found that, aside from Social Security, found that their property taxes were rising, their howls were heard straight and true in the state capitol, and rather than devising a more creative solution, the initiative was used to hammer home a property tax limitation, which has coincided, at least in time, with the decline of California's education and infrastructure. And we were the leader in that.
Jay, you're such a fan of California. Why do you say you'd never go back? You couldn't take the sunshine.
No, I think, you know, the urban planning issues were really the thing that did it for me. I can definitely deal with the sunshine, especially after living in New England for 3 years. But I think that being on a highway, issues of zoning and just and generally urban infrastructure. I lived in the San Francisco Bay Area. I went to college out there, so wasn't very pleasant for me from that perspective. But
too few houses, too many cars on the roads. What?
Too many cars. Housing was expensive. I think that the commute time and distance from where you live to where you work was very, very difficult for me. I just like the smaller, more dense cities that you find on the East Coast or the older cities in America. But I certainly appreciate the contribution that California politics gives to the rest of the country. I think that the recall issue here is something which will over time be amended to make it more logical and reasonable and not so stacked against the incumbent. And I think that I would not be at all surprised if it's adopted in that perhaps more logical form in other states around the country. I think California will continue to be, in many ways, the petri dish for the most innovative discussions about politics and society in this country.
Jay, thanks for your call. Let's bring in our historian, Dr. Rawls. Interesting point brought up there, Dr. Rawls, isn't it, that we've been plugging California, the great American dream. People are leaving, actually.
Well, they are. We have recently experienced a greater out-migration to other states from people coming in from other states, but you have to balance that with the continued immigration, international immigration into California. So although we're losing some of our fellow U.S. citizens, we are gaining, nevertheless, a net gain because of the tremendous influx, particularly people coming from south of the border from Mexico, but also from Asia and the islands of the Pacific. California today, I mentioned earlier, is the most diverse state. Remember, California now, we have a state in which there is no majority population any longer. 47% of us are non-Hispanic whites, more than a third are Hispanic Californians, and so on and so forth. We have a tremendous diversity, and that drawing power of California may not be so strong in Texas or in Idaho or in other states, but it is still internationally a very, very strong and attractive place.
Harry, you know, you talked at the beginning of the program about this constant flux. Does that mean that California is constantly reinventing itself, or that it's just totally nebulous?
It's not nebulous. People live normal lives here, but I do think in our mythology, it is the capital of the American ideal of perpetual self-invention. That's why we probably have, outside of Rio de Janeiro, the largest number of plastic surgeons on the planet Earth. I do want to say something about what Jay said about city planning, because California is tarred with this brush from time to time. And it's good to remember where this all started. In Los Angeles in the 20s, we had one of the great rapid transit systems of the world. It was systematically demolished. And there is a court case which ended in a nolo contendere by Firestone Tire and Rubber, Standard Oil, and General Motors, which conspired to shut down the rapid transit system and replace it with diesel-consuming buses. And that was a major step in the change of Los Angeles into the car-centric city that we have today.
800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. We're talking about California, if it's leading the country or is declared UDI. Mike's joining us from Wake Forest in North Carolina. Hi, Mike.
Hi there. I think that the turkeys have come home to roost in California. And as Willie Brown was saying, you could hear the disgust in his voice, and I don't think he was just speaking as a Democrat. I think he was speaking as a veteran politician who is genuinely afraid of what's going on in California, since this is an abuse of a law that was put in as a last-ditch effort. And I think this should be a warning for the rest of the country, for people who don't pay attention to the details. But I also think this is an indictment of the entire legislation in California, who Gray Davis did not cause these problems by himself. This is a long chain of events that took place due to the politically motivated legislature.
Dr. Rawls, can I get a historical perspective on this? You've talked about the great booms and busts of California. Does it have periods of lurching between anarchic politics and very boring politics, perhaps going with the booms and busts?
Well, I don't know if you can coordinate boring and booms and busts and so on in that quite that way, but there's no question that the Californians have been innovators in the area of political discussion. That was going back to the early 20th century when we first invented for the nation the recall referendum and the initiative. It was in Los Angeles that we had, in 1903, the world's first recall procedure adopted by a city council, and later in California in 1911, it was the first state to have this kind of an operation here. So we've had that innovative quality, and I think that's had a very positive impact on the nation of allowing for that kind of direct democracy. Unfortunately, as Willie Brown is well aware and others, what has happened, these popular democratic innovative structures in California have been subverted over the last 20 or 30 years, perhaps, where the special interests that these direct democracy devices were to try to defeat, now those very same special interests have corrupted the initiative and the referendum process, and I think that's what we're seeing also perhaps with the recall procedure today.
Do you agree with Mike's assessment then that you're verging on mob rule?
Well, we're not. I wouldn't say that would be an extreme statement, but it is no question that the direct democracy movement has now gotten to a place where it is, in a sense, subverting the regular process of government. We just had our governor's election last year, of course, and as Mike correctly pointed out, the problems that are facing California are much more broadly based than simply something that you can hang on the incumbent governor in California. So I think it's an unfortunate manifestation of that direct democracy at the present.
Dr. Rolls, thanks. I'm Judy Solomon for Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. We're talking this hour about California. Do you think they're crazy, or is there something going on there that the rest of America should be paying attention to? Do we just follow their news, or are they leading everybody else? You can join the conversation at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK.
This is a place where angels congregate, yeah. And they say that this is a place where it all can happen for you, for you, for you, for you. California knows how to make dreams seem so sweet. California knows how to whisper in your ear and tell you you're a star, you're a star, you're a star.
I'm Judy Swallowin for Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. We're talking to Harry Shearer, LA-based actor, James Rawls, historian in Northern California, and what we're talking about is the state's current and historic turbulence. Connection listeners, do you still want to go to California, or is the California dream just a myth? Call us. Our number, 800-423-8255. Let's go straight to Dave, who's calling us from San Francisco. Hi, Dave.
Yo, good morning, everybody. I'm sitting here in the Haight Ashbury. First of all, I want to say, Harry Shearer, it's really good to hear your voice. You provide some of the only belly laughs on NPR.
Thank you very much.
But second of all, I want to bring in the issue of the Southern California, Northern California split. It seems to me that with the Terminator and what's happening, we see the reemergence of the great white masses of Southern California emerging. And I see also the role of AM talk radio emerging in the political arena, not just on AM radio, but out there. And I think that's what's helping this on too. And I wanted to get your views, because in Northern California, sitting here in San Francisco, sitting here in the Haight Ashbury, this whole thing seems so odd, foreign. I can hardly believe that it's happening here in California at this late date.
Harry,
the new millennium.
Is that true, Harry? Great split between North and South?
Well, you know, as a long time Angelino who spent some time in the Haight Ashbury way back when, I think it's a one-sided war. because the North seems to want to fight it. They have good and sufficient reason. We stole their water. The South tends to look elsewhere and not really pay much attention to the battle. But, you know, I think this all started when San Francisco was the financial capital of California and saw that its role was being eclipsed by a city it always despised, Los Angeles. And Los Angeles has always had its rivalry with New York rather than with San Francisco. So that's been part of the split. But as far as Arnold is concerned, you know, I think the untold story so far, at least in non-conservative circles, is that if you look at their find out about their positions, probably Arnold is to the left of Gray Davis.
I don't want to go down that route. James Ross, let's bring you in here. A good point about North-South split. Huge state. Fifth largest country in the world, we're told.
Right.
Is it ungovernable? Does it really need its own president and its own parliament or whatever? You know, for a state.
I think we're going to remain a state in the Union, and we're going to remain a united state in spite of these divisions. And I think we are governable. One of the points that was made earlier by Harry is that Californians have not been paying very close attention to what's going on in the state government. There's been a tremendous vacuum of news coming out of Sacramento, as was pointed out earlier, and people's interest has been extremely low on state politics, just writing it off, being turned off. Willie Brown talked about low voter turnout. That's been one of the manifestations of that. And so, yes, maybe one of the positive things in what I regard as a generally negative situation at the present hour, but one of the positive things is an increased awareness and interest in California politics.
I was just going to say there's one other possible positive, which is this could turn out to be a very good advertisement for a dramatically foreshortened election cycle. An eight-week election would be a California's great gift to all of America.
Look, I'd like to say thanks, Dave, for your call. I think you've confirmed a lot of what most of us believe about Haight-Ashbury. Anyway, Danielle joins us now from Brighton, Mass. Danielle, hi.
It's actually Danielle. But
Danielle.
I just had a quick comment to make about a point that was made much, much earlier in your show. One of your guests was talking about people from other states coming into California and, you know, putting up these signs that said, I'm only here temporarily. And I'm actually from Southern California and have been living out here in the Boston area for 5 years. And people say, oh, where are you from? And I tell them, and they look at me and they say, well, why leave? It's so nice out there. Why would you come out here?
And so, what do you answer?
Well, I came out here for college, and after 4 years, you get to appreciate a place. And I think I was old enough when I was out here to be able to develop an appreciation for my surroundings that I never fully developed when I was younger. And I actually like the weather, which I know people are gonna hate me for, but I like, you know, even though it's raining, the fall and the snow. And I've started to put my roots out down here, but everyone still looks at me with this bizarre expression on their face, like, because they said they would have traded spaces with me in a minute to go out to California.
Yeah, but the thing is, Danielle, it happens to a lot of us that your age that you find that due to circumstances you end up someplace,
yeah,
and you get the job there and you get the fella there and
mm-hmm.
you get friends there and so you stick there.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if you could have absolute choice, you know, take aside all those different factors, if it were between California and Massachusetts.
Oh gosh.
Well,
it's kind of hard to eliminate all those factors, but I think at this point I'd probably stay out here. Because the only thing that's really tying me out to where I'm from are my parents, our family, because most of my family is actually scattered around the country anyway. And I've just developed such strong connections with people out here, and I love it out here anyway.
Harry, I'd like to bring you in here because, you know, Danielle's making a very clear choice there. You made a very clear choice, didn't you? You thought your hometown didn't suit you, and so you opted for California.
No, I'm a native.
Oh, you are?
Yes, I'm a California native. I made another clear choice, which is I adopted another city as my second home, which is New Orleans, and I that's a place where, by contrast, it is equally embracing to all comers, But people really do set down roots there right away, and the nature of community is really emphasized, and it's dramatically different from Los Angeles in that regard. Here, there's such a cult of individuality that you need never meet your neighbors if you don't want to. You need never vote if you don't want to. You need never pay attention to any of it. You can just, you know, pursue your self-reinvention as you will.
Danielle, thanks for your call. I agree with you. The snow here is great. 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Let's bring in Stephen now from Providence, Rhode Island. Stephen.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
My question is for Harry. There's been a recurring character on The Simpsons over the years by the name of McBain.
Yeah.
Who's certainly representative of Arnold Schwarzenegger and his iconic characterizations. I'd like to know, given the current political scenarios we're seeing, can we expect to see more McBain?
Well, you know, first of all, I want to make one thing clear. McBain, a better actor than Arnold, has better range.
Excellent.
You know, because he's been in action pictures, but he's also been in action pictures, which is his whole range. McBain might run. You never know. I say, look out, Mayor Quimby.
Yes.
I'll be back.
Excellent. Thank you.
It was a setup, wasn't it?
No, I had no idea.
To do your Arnie, Harry. Hi, Stephen. You still there?
I'm still here. I was just thinking about Mayor Quimby, too, and he also seems representative of some politicians here on the East Coast. I can think of Buddy Cianci or some people from the Kennedy tradition as well.
Certainly is. I don't do Mayor Quimby, so I won't go down that road.
Indeed.
But yeah, and I think, you know, the tension we're seeing here, the tension between the Arnie figure or the Ariana figure or any of these others in this race and what Willie Brown represented, is this sort of perpetual tension between the insiders and the outsiders. You know, we have in California, I think, we probably started the tradition of the cult of the outsider back in the Ronald Reagan, George Murphy, S.I. Hayakawa days of, you know, anybody can do this job. Which is sort of the American ideal, you know. We do look down on professional politicians. And then, you know, you get a situation like Jesse Ventura where for 4 years he was stymied by the professional. There still is a thing called the legislature filled with professional politicians. So the one outsider coming in to deal with them may not be the magic formula.
Stephen, thanks very much for your call. You got... You got our man Harry here to do what we'd all been trying to get him to do, which is his Arnie imitation, so thanks for that. Let's talk to Robert now in Providence, Rhode Island. Robert, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm fine. Is that a California accent?
Yes, it is. I'm actually a fourth-generation Southern Californian, which is unusual. I was born and raised in California, and I'm now living in Providence, Rhode Island. Just decided to come here after college.
That's a really big state to a really little state, but anyway,
sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about. I think there's a certain autonomy and freedom that Californians feel. You know, because the Los Angeles experience is not the San Francisco experience, mm-hmm. is not the Sacramento experience, and it's certainly not the Eureka experience.
Yeah.
But they're all California. You can go to any one of those places, especially because of the freedom given to us by GM and Firestone that was mentioned earlier. No public transportation, so everybody has a car. But you can go to all those places, and it's still home. It's still California. It's still yours. Not only that, when you want to go out of the state, you have to cross some sort of physical barrier, like the desert or the Rocky Mountains or, you know, south of the border to go into Mexico. You've got, you know, checkpoints you got to go through.
Yeah, James Rawls, historian, is it the geography which is really... formed California and the California experience?
Well, it's very interesting, not just the geography, where we have a greater variety of landforms and a greater variety of climate zones than anywhere else in the nation, but the geology of California is actually representative of what we've been talking about, all of these strangers coming to California and making it their home, putting down roots or not. California geologically is made up of what is called exotic terrain, bits and pieces of the Earth's surface that have migrated and docked or embedded themselves here into the North American landmass. So I think it's fascinating that in the land itself, we have this rocky metaphor for the rest of California, for the attractive power of California and the growth and the diversity of California. It's right here in the land.
How would you define that lure? Because California doesn't have to advertise itself, does it? It just draws people like honeypot.
Absolutely. You've played a few bits and pieces of California tunes. I have a discography of something like 150-plus tunes about California, and none of them have been put out by the Los Angeles Chamber of Commerce or the Bakersfield Chamber of Commerce. We've had people singing our praises. There have been hymns of praise coming from California that have circulated around the world and have been the greatest PR with no expense to the state at all in getting the message out about California as generally a positive place to be.
On the other hand, the whole existence of the Tournament of Roses in Pasadena was a Chamber of Commerce stunt to say, look what great weather we have in January. We can have flowers.
Absolutely. And that broadcast today, I understand, is the has the largest annual audience around the world. And I've thought about that. When people are sitting in Providence or sitting wherever it is and they're seeing those images on January 1st, Pasadena, California, people in their swimming suits waving from these flower-bedecked floats, and you're there shoveling the snow in Providence, and you say, what the hell am I doing here?
Yeah, but Harry, I mean, that phrase James used there, generally a positive place to be, it's not a great ad slogan, is it? Is California the epitome of aspiration? Is that what it has going for it? It's almost,
well,
if you go there, you're going to be better.
I just think that the main continuing drawing point beyond the climate and all of the rest of it is that the social hierarchy of most of California, I would exempt San Francisco, but of most of California, is still incomplete. So there are still many roles to fill. There are still many places to aspire to. You know, it's not like the old families have control of all the great high ground in a community. So there are many heights to scale that are still available to any comer with the determination and the hunger to do so.
Brief last word, Dr. Rawls. You didn't answer it. Are we looking into California and seeing the face of the future of America or a separate place?
I believe that California is a trendsetter in architecture, in style, in politics, and it is for good or worse that California does represent a trend, a window into the future. We've been that way in technology and just about any field you might want to identify. And so, yes, I think people can look to California and see a direction for the country.
James Rawls, thanks. Thanks, too, to Harry Shearer, earlier heard, Mayor Willie Brown, and reporter Charlie LaDuff. Our senior producer is Tara Murphy. I'm Judy Swallow. This is The Connection.
1, 2, 3, 4!
We're going out with where I belong. When the days are short and the nights are long. And I walk, and I walk, I toot, and I toot. And I shoot, and I shoot, and I fly, and I fly. Where do I say I have them fun? In the warm California sun. When I'm going out west down on the coast, where the California girls are really the best.